I'm Frank Vaughn. It's May 13th, 2025, and this is The Fulcrum. And I think today, in reflection on the fact that elbows up is gone and thumbs up is back in, and it seems that the threat of Donald Trump has completely disappeared off the radar, it's a good idea to remind everybody of the economic reality that Canada finds itself in. First of all, our commander-in-chief, we don't have a commander-in-chief, we have a prime minister, we have a thrall to the king. By the way, a king who is coming over to deliver for my American audience, you guys have a State of the Union down there. In Canada, we have something called a throne speech. Usually it's delivered by the prime minister. But this time around, it's going to be delivered by our king because we have a king. At any rate, we have elected an economic hitman as our prime minister, a man who, in spite of the fact, as many have highlighted, wrote a book about net zero, owns lots of stake, or has represented companies that own huge stakes in pipelines, who level sections of the Amazon forest so that they can then farm those now vacant sections that used to be rainforest. The ecological damage, the carbon footprint of Mark Carney is vast, and it's not just jet flights, it's his entire business practice. He is an economic hitman. He is a looter. And now he's the prime minister of our country. Now, I just want to compare and contrast for a minute. Donald Trump was sworn in January as the president of the United States. In that time, roughly speaking by my math, Donald Trump has inked $3.5 trillion with a T in investment deals with foreign countries and foreign corporate entities who are investing that capital into the United States, $3.5 trillion. That's almost two times the size of the entire Canadian economy. In the same time since he was sworn into office, the Canadian government has signed exactly zero deals for investment here. And why is that? Because nobody wants to invest in Canada. Remember we referred to in other videos the giant sucking sound of all of our business and all of our capital being sucked into the United States? If we decided to progress with our high tax, climate change obsessed, ridiculous country, which is governed on virtue signaling rather than economic reality, and how Western Canada had to really consider its options to try and get out of this thing, to try and do something different if we want to save ourselves and actually have prosperity, because the government that's in office for the fourth term is dedicated to taxing us, is dedicated to making us uncompetitive, and is dedicated to seeing, as a result, all of our businesses move to the United States. Let's just consider one day's activity in the world of Donald Trump. This is today. Trump speaks from Saudi Arabia after signing $600 billion in joint deals. The Saudi crown prince greeted Trump in person. The Saudi Arabians love Donald Trump, and they love to send their capital into the United States. $600 billion is roughly a third of the size of the Canadian economy. It depends how you score it. If you actually take government expenditure out of our GDP, it's probably close to half the size of our Canadian economy. This is just one day. Now, there is a bit of lead up. There have been negotiations going on behind the scenes, but this is the kind of situation. This is that sucking sound in action. The capital of the world flowing into the United States, not into Canada. And as we sit here pondering the fact that elbows up has completely disappeared off the radar, there are other themes that were part and parcel to the momentum driving Canadians to fits of madness, not seen since COVID-19 swept the land, that have also disappeared off the radar, talking about the rising cost of housing. So some key points. The real estate market, for all intents and purposes, peaked in 2022, and since then it's been stagnant or falling. Just one, or actually I'll go with a couple statistics. The Greater Toronto Area saw a 23.3% drop in home sales in April 2025 compared to April 2024, with inventory surging 54% as people are trying to dump their purchases. And they're often dumping below what they bought for. There are people out there taking losses on housing as we speak. The ground is shifting under our feet. It's one thing for Canada to, quote-unquote, welcome millions of immigrants every single year. But it's another thing if those immigrants decide to stop coming because hope is in decline, because things are not just unaffordable, because taxation is not just unbearable, but because unemployment is on the rise. We are now at a pre-COVID high for unemployment, and we're heading in the wrong direction. And nothing appears on the radar to indicate that our trajectory is going to change. We may just be at the beginning of economic hardship. Now, remember that underneath all of the shiny, glowing rhetoric and elbows-up nonsense that we just went through with the election cycle, Mark Carney's so-called leadership campaign in the selection that wasn't really an election for leader of the Liberal Party consisted of the bad news, which was the good times are over, difficult times ahead, belt tightening for all, increasing tax burden, increasing economic hardship, and challenging times ahead. I couldn't believe that a man campaigned openly on a message of doom and was able to get elected and then go into a national election campaign and all that doom and gloom rhetoric, unless you want to include the fact that he said the relationship with the United States is over, it's not over. In fact, it may just be getting ramped up. We can actually just have a look. The only people talking about this are Juno News, who is, well, Juno News and True North, alternative media members in this country. The proposed sale of one of British Columbia's only two oil refineries to U.S.-based energy giant Sunoco is drawing fierce criticism from unions. The proposed sale of one of British Columbia's only two oil refineries to U.S.-based energy giant Sunoco is drawing fierce criticism from unions who are calling on the federal government to block the $9 billion deal in order to protect Canadian jobs. But if we just go over to CBC or any mainstream news source, it's not even on the radar. It's just glowing, smiling pictures as highly paid public servants get sworn into cabinet positions after 9 months of this nation not having elected representation in its halls of power with the bureaucracy and the unelected government, because the government's appointed, it's not elected, running things behind the scenes with the governor general's signature, the representative of the king, which I know I'm a bit all over the place here, but sorting out the mess that is Canada is an act in being all over the place because it's such a god-awful mess. We're told that the governor general is just a ceremonial position. We're told that the king is just a ceremonial relic of quaint former times. But the fact of the matter is that governor general's signature is more powerful than your prime minister's. And the last 9 months has demonstrated that. So while CBC uses your tax dollars to do this, while CBC benefited from hundreds of millions of dollars while Parliament wasn't in session, because of the governor general's signature, they're not telling you about the looting, which is ongoing. And they're not speculating about the looting which is coming. The Canada Pension Plan, to cut to the chase, is a great big sack of money. And Brookfield, under Mark Carney, before there was even a whisper of him becoming Prime Minister of Canada, was frequently dipping into the pockets of the Canada Pension Plan to sell the Canada Pension Plan assets that Brookfield no longer wanted to hold, including roads in India, as we've covered on this channel. I think that's only beginning. Mark Carney keeps talking about an energy corridor. Who's going to benefit from that energy corridor? Who's going to fund it? Who's going to own it? It's not going to be you. Now, I just want to remind everybody that Trump got exactly what he wanted out of the Canadian election, and your state-funded media told you that. Trump knows exactly what he just triggered in Canada. The U.S. president has remarked on the staggering turnaround that he provoked. Mark Carney and Donald Trump go back. But the liberal voter doesn't care about history. Liberal voters, I swear, they don't even read books anymore. They don't understand where they come from. They don't understand where they're going. And they don't understand the future that they are selling out. Can you imagine a situation where the real estate market peaked in 2022 and we are entering into a period of apparent decline all while we are still cramming hundreds of thousands of people in this country. A lot of them dependents. I think we're up to 1.6 million foreign-born people with disabilities that we've brought in as dependents to start out their life here. It's not just that we give them checks and aid and spend all kinds of tax dollars on people who have never paid into the system. It's also that we import dependents directly, but I am digressing. Canada finds itself on its own. The Canadian people find themselves on their own, specifically the red voter, who is just duped into this fervor and have now been abandoned unceremoniously mere weeks after the election. Everything that you thought had value, the fight that you were gearing up for with the United States, has now just disappeared off the radar. And some of the reason for that is this. China sent secret delegation to Washington to negotiate trade deal while vowing it would never talk to Trump. So they did the elbows up thing in China too, which Canada seems to have copied. The Liberal Party seems to have copied, because the Liberal Party, as we know through the Foreign Interference Committee and all of the other things that we've discussed on this channel, whether it's money laundering, our open ports, drug manufacture here in Canada, the Liberal Party of Canada is an extension of the Communist Party of China. It's incredible. During the election campaign, one of their candidates literally called for the kidnapping of his opposition and handing them over to China to ostensibly collect a bounty. But while all of this was going on, China was reaching out to the United States. Fear of economic collapse forced China to negotiate with Trump, quietly reach out first. So with China folding, with Europe folding, with England quietly folding to the United States, we can see that American power hasn't waned as much as many would like to think, but it is still very much a pressing concern. He's over in Saudi Arabia, as we've highlighted, inking all of these investment deals. None of this benefits Canada. In fact, Canada's on its own. Once again, I have commented many times about how they would do these summits in Europe, and Trudeau would go over there, and he would be used by the Europeans to make very strong press statements against Trump in his first term in office. And then they'd go behind his back and they would make deals with President Trump, and Trudeau would just look like a fool. And we've largely reaped what we have sown through Justin Trudeau. We've reaped what Trudeau sown. He made a fool of himself during the first Trump presidency. Freeland made a fool of herself in the negotiation of the trade agreement. And then the 4 years of the Biden administration, setting aside for a minute, I would love to get into a video talking about the sheer levels of hedonistic sodomy that Biden brought to the White House, just turned it into a disgusting den of perversion. But that's a subject for another day. During the entire Biden administration and during the election, all the subtle digs and not-so-subtle digs that the Trudeau government engaged in against the soon-to-be President Trump, again. And the same with Jagmeet Singh. We have reaped what they have sown. And now we're on our own again. But this time round, we have a brilliant and capable central banker, a corporate looter from Brookfield, running our nation. So as the economic hardship starts to ramp up, and as this government signals that it has all the answers by piling on another $250 billion in national debt, which is only going to further erode your purchasing power, they're going to promote ideas like central bank digital currencies as the solutions to all of your problems. Meanwhile, out the back door, absent of any critical media telling you the story, they're going to be looting not just the public assets of the nation, but the private assets of the nation. Which is why I hope the separatist cause, the vocal musings, the conversation, the democratic engagement of the separatist idea here in Western Canada does not disappear. And speaking of that separatist conversation, Carla Beck, who is the leader of the NDP in Saskatchewan, is absolutely desperate to shut it down. Her pinned tweet is, "The Saskatchewan NDP is proud to stand for Canada against any and all threats We will never be the 51st state. I don't see a Saskatchewan flag in any of that. Scott Moe promised a free vote on the Keep Saskatchewan in Canada bill I introduced. Instead, this is what we got. Today, the Saskatchewan legislature spent 47 minutes introducing guests. That was more time than they spent doing everything else, including the 25-minute question period. Why the early adjournment to avoid debating referendum legislation? I don't understand why Carla Beck doesn't understand something so simple. If you want to strengthen your hand in negotiations with Ottawa, more noise is better. Why you're getting in the way of your own people? Even if you want to keep Saskatchewan in Canada, fine. That can be your opinion. But you should sit quietly on your hands while the province makes a lot of noise so that you're in a better negotiating position. This is terrible. And it's interesting because it just her whole page is dedicated. I also find it interesting that she is tweeting about Louis Riel while opposing any conversation about separation. I think the irony is lost on her. But I'm looking at Nenshi over here. Nenshi is the leader of the NDP in Alberta, which is a joke all in itself. But he's not really obsessed with the idea of sovereignty the way that Carla Beck is. But I do find it kind of funny. This is...
The premier told us all that she was going to hit pause, that they weren't going to move forward with...
The shadow minister for health. But back to the point, this is an oldie, but a goodie. This is from 2021. Mark Carney, man of destiny, wants to revolutionize society. It won't be pleasant. What Carney ultimately wants is a technocratic dictatorship justified by climate alarmism. Maybe that's what he wanted in 2022. Or 2021. Maybe that's not what he wants anymore. The man is a chameleon, and he's not stupid. It's a mistake to call this guy a clown and to not at least understand his genius. But it's a genius that's rooted in being as shifty as the sands in a desert. I think as we try to deduce what he's actually going to do, I think the number one characteristic of his prime ministership will be the looting of Canada. The elbows up nonsense, you're going to see the opposite of that. If China and the United States come to an accord on trade, if China cracks down, if basically China has been allowed to undermine North America and undermine the United States through a multi-fronted attack on their culture and on their health and on their family structure, because the pollution that Chinese money is generating in terms of media is part of what's breaking the mind of the American people and part of what's breaking the mind and the family unit in North America. But one of the more insidious aspects of it is the drug trade. Encouraging the drug trade, getting everybody addicted, killing people in overdoses, and costing massive amounts of resources, time, health, money in that effort. If Trump can get them to stop that on their end, which I think it's a virtual lock. I think there's going to be a huge crackdown on the supply of hard drugs, not just in the United States, but here in Canada, because we bring in so many precursor chemicals and we do so much assembly here. I think there's a very real chance that the Liberal Party will do some kind of bail reform, do some kind of criminal justice reform. Not because they want to, but because the situation is changing geopolitically with the United States and China. It's no longer advantageous for China to undermine the United States through Canada because their bluff is being called by the Trump administration. So this is the whole litmus is going to change, which means that Canada will change because we're just a satellite state. We're just a resource colony. Mark Carney is not going to change that. But I think he's going to accelerate the looting. And one of the easiest ways to create a situation where the looting can be accelerated is to ensure that we are not competitive by having a much higher tax burden than our best geopolitical neighbor, the United States. If Canada is in a high state of distress, then it's easier to justify selling off her assets to try and plug the holes in all the various budgets. And I think it's very likely that we're going to see that. And even though the official message, whether you like, there's a lot of people who don't like me communicating, the official message of the U.S. government is that the 51st state talk is done. You haven't heard Trump mention it since Carney's visit down there and the thumbs up pictures and the accolades which Carney laid all over Trump, the lavish praise which the Canadian media somehow is spinning as Carney being strong. He completely went down there and capitulated. It's amazing how they lie to us. It's amazing that they can keep lying to us. It's amazing that the Canadian public, so much of the Canadian public, still laps it up. They change when they're told to change. They jump when they're told to jump. They get angry when they're told to get angry, and they're mollified when they are told to be mollified. And that is 40 to 50% of the Canadian public just does not possess the capacity for critical thought or individual thinking. It's incredible. But at either rate, that talk's gone now. But fast forward in time, 2 or 3 years, when this Carney government has had its opportunity to continue the looting of Canada, to continue imposing these uncompetitive regulations and taxes, because the carbon tax isn't going anywhere. It's still going to be there. It all remains to be seen how it's going to flesh out, whether he just unsuspends the tax that he suspended in the fake executive order signing theater. Just like I said, this video is just, it's all over the place because the whole thing is such one, it's a gigantic production every day that goes forward. It's just this empty movie that they manufacture in real time to keep half of the Canadian public completely duped and mollified. Fake executive order signings, fake suspension of taxes, a fake leadership election. Now an election where non-citizen voting could have actually been a significant factor. You've got a riding in Quebec that's flipped by one vote. And meanwhile, they put the wrong postal codes on. I mean, other people have covered it. My faith in Elections Canada has been shaken, as I highlighted yesterday. It's such a sad state for a nation. But the last point that I wanted to make is that state talk is off the table right now. But after 2 or 3 more years of pain, which is what Mark Carney promised when he was running for the leadership of the Liberal Party, was pain. He campaigned and won on a message of pain. It's incredible. When he delivers on that promise, the shifting sands under our feet will shift once again. And who knows what opportunities and new avenues of thought will open up. But for the moment, the status quo reigns. The worst nightmare that I indicated before the elections reigns, which is we just carry on. The king's going to come over here and deliver the throne speech. The Senate remains unelected. Deficits continue to pile up. The Canadian people continue to suffer. Unemployment keeps going up. And even in an environment where we're flooding out this country with people who don't speak the language or share our cultural norms, we're actually seeing softness in the real estate market. Can the management get any worse? And in light of that bad management, what did we do? We gave them another government. I'm Frank Vaughn. I'll see you in the next one. Did you know that I have a website? FrankVaughn.ca, the ultimate repository for all of my work, and a backup location just in case the censors come for me again. And if you like the content, please consider using the donate link in one of the options available. There are no paywalls, there is no advertising, and there is no Patreon, and I intend to keep it that way. Thank you for your time and your consideration.